A few years ago to me after the presentation of a children's program, isn't that a lot of work to entertain adults for just a few minutes? Maybe you're thinking that and I just want to clarify. Yes, it is a lot of work. It is for our children's ministry workers and for your children and grandchildren. And no, it is not entertainment for adults. If no adult showed up today, we would enact the children's program. We do it to teach children about God's Word. Is that clear? If you're into pedagogy, if you've been trained in teaching, you know that we remember very little of what we hear. Great encouragement to preachers, actually. We remember a little more of what we see and what we watch and quite a large percentage of what we do. And so, since this story is central to Christianity and our belief system, if no one came, I don't think that'll happen, to see the Christmas program, we would still insist in having the children act it out. Medical experts tell us today that laughter is good for our health. It boosts the production of certain antibodies and strengthens our immune system. Thank you for your tax dollars that funded the research to prove that. But if doctors had actually looked in Proverbs 17, they would have known that many thousands of years ago, Solomon already said, a cheerful heart is good medicine. But of course, not all laughter is cheerful. Not all laughter is joy, is it? Sometimes laughter is mockery and disbelief. Some of you are old enough to remember the 1979 OPEC oil embargo, or what was called by this misnomer. OPEC means the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. And they thought there was a glut on the market, and there really was no embargo of oil at all, as if that would have hurt our country, which has tens of billions of barrels of reserve. They actually just limited production by 4%. But due to one of our favorite things in America, gross public overreaction and general panic, people began to line up for half mile and a mile at gas pumps, even people whose cars were not on empty, but just half full, because who knew? And of course, that drove up the prices, didn't it? February of that year, 1979, I was in my senior year of college, and my friend Russ and I happened one afternoon. We were leaving campus and on the way to our evening shift at a job in Minnetonka. And we pulled up to the gas pump at Tom Thumb at the same time in our two cars, and we had heard on the radio that day someone prognosticating, saying that by that summer, mid-1979, the cost of gas would surpass $1 a gallon. We laughed out loud. Now, I started driving in 1973, and I have paid 49 cents a gallon for gasoline quite a few times in my life, not recently. But due to the so-called non-existing embargo, gas had inched to 79 cents a gallon in 89, and I was in the low 90s. And somebody suggested, it's going to pass $1 a gallon. And we had this conversation. No idiot would pay $1 for a gallon of gas. People would park their cars. And we said to each other, we'll walk to work. So the winding little county highway between St. Bonnie and Minnetonka, with no bike path like you would have today, or sidewalk or shoulder, 10 miles through the hills in the winter, we swore we would walk before we'd pay that price. We laughed. It wasn't funny. It just seemed so absurd and outrageous, we knew that's just impossible. Oh, look at where we are now, right? The Sarah story contains two laughters that are contrasted for us. Chapter 18, the Lord said to Abraham, I'll return in a year, and your wife, she was 89 years old at this time, she will have a son. She laughed. for it seemed impossible. It's easy to chide or chastise her, but to us, we would think that, and you would have that reaction. And in chapter 21, she says, God has brought me laughter. This is joyful laughter, and it's contagious, and all who hear about this will laugh with me. What a contrast of stories at Advent, isn't it? The birth of Jesus is the most detailed birth story in the Bible. The first detailed birth story is this one, the story of Isaac. The extraordinary contrasted with the ordinary. Jesus Christ, born to Mary and Joseph, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born to a virgin, the incarnate Son of the living God, come down from heaven to live among us. Emmanuel, God who is in our flesh, who walks with us, who speaks our language. Beyond comprehension. And Isaac. There's nothing actually in Genesis to show that Isaac is anything beyond an ordinary boy or man. He's not called exceptional. There's no acts of bravery. He's not a leader of anyone. He's not a hero. He's not above average, as all Minnesota children are. Nothing sets him apart except that he's the son of the covenant, promised to Abraham and to Sarah in their old age. Both births are miraculous. Actually, if you have experienced a birth, either as a husband been in a birth room or as a wife given birth, you would say, oh, any childbirth is miraculous. But in the physical, in the biological realm, the birth of Jesus and the birth of Isaac are both miraculous. Sarah, at age 90, the text says, and we'll stick with these words since there's children in the room, she was past the age of childbearing. But she also threw shade, we would say today, on the prophecy saying, and my Lord is old. The Lord to whom she spoke, Sarah would actually live to be 127 years of age and Abraham to 175. And after Sarah's death, Abraham took another wife. You can read about that later in Genesis. And had six more sons and perhaps daughters. The Jewish way of doing genealogy is mostly they listed only the sons. But is anything too hard for the Lord? Mary, of course, the virgin. We don't know her age. The Gospels don't say how old she was when the angel appeared to her, how old she was when she was betrothed, married, when Jesus began his ministry, when she died. We're never told any detail like that about Mary's life. But we do know biology, that a woman cannot conceive by herself. People laugh yet today at the preposterous idea, don't they? That this babe in the manger can really be the Savior of the world. If you just cut off the gospel story after Luke chapter 2, we would stand in disbelief, but many disbelief having heard the whole story. Really, Jesus, this man who won't stand up to the Roman power, seemingly weak, soft-spoken, kind of retiring, who won't even answer when he's falsely accused, dies at the hands of his enemies and is buried. A shameful public death, crucifixion. Really, do people still swallow this idea? And the world laughs. The first laughter of Sarah of derision. Advent means the coming. It's describing the time of waiting. Today we don't wait for forgiveness. Messiah has come. We know the promise of eternal life when we believe and accept in Christ. But we wait for so many other things, do we not? Promises, hopes, dreams, wishes. And we wonder about this word, Emmanuel. If God really came, if it's true that he's really still here, if he's God with us, is standing beside me, how can someone explain that I'm still waiting? Haven't I prayed for this for 10 years? The contrasted laughters meet in the stable at Bethlehem. Since that night long ago, many have chosen, and still do, to laugh in derision and disbelief and mock the very suggestion that a virgin could conceive. That's never happened since then, has it? How could a baby really be the Son of God if born to a human couple? And who would suggest that the humble carpenter's son could save the world, or even anyone, just one person? The laughter is heard yet today, isn't it? Possibly you heard someone laugh in mockery this week. And in a crowd this size, maybe someone's here who did that themselves. But the gospel account is very clear. Some believed immediately. Mary did. She wondered, she questioned, but she said, "I'm the Lord's servant." Joseph, too, thought it very inconvenient and thought of other plans, but believed. Mary's relative Elizabeth believed, the shepherds did. And it says they went and told everyone, and likely some of them believed. The prophets Simeon and Anna at the temple, when the baby was taken to be consecrated by his parents, believed and worshiped God. The wise men believed and made a long trip to come and worship. Herod the king, the governor really, he called himself a king. He certainly believed, feared, and killed young boys to snuff out the new king. As Jesus ministered, throngs believed and followed him. 11 disciples believed and followed and gave their lives to obey this Redeemer, to know forgiveness, to declare, as it were, with Sarah, "God has brought me laughter." In this difficult, broken world and all of our problems, joy has come and I'm smiling. Choice, it's not always good news. The Bible reminds us of that frequently. We agonize over choices a lot, don't we? Sometimes sleeplessness comes or heartburn because we can't decide between this path or that. We finally choose and then soon come to regret it. Freedom of choice, little known actually in much of the world today. Most of the choices we stress about, a lot of citizens of planet Earth don't even have as a liberty. But we so dearly cherish in our nation of affluence. Freedom of choice is not so wonderful when you err, when you decide for the wrong direction. Tuesday of this week, I went to the UPS drop-off box and sent back a number of gifts that I had decided to buy. A lot of the world doesn't know return policies as we know them either. The good news of the gospel is mirrored in the Sarah narrative. You can choose the wrong side of laughter and cross over. You can change your mind. That's what the gospel means. One who mocked the improbable account that the Lord prophesied chose to believe and laugh with joy. And she knew that the second choice, this laughter, would be contagious. But sadly, laughter number one is contagious too, isn't it? We cringe sometimes as gospel-believing people to hear people mock and deride what we believe because we think everyone's going to jump on and get along with that as they laugh and mock. And chapter 21 says that Abraham, this would be part of their culture, the father chose the name Isaac. And the name Isaac means he laughs. So for his entire life, when people spoke to Isaac and called him by his name, he would be hearing this story that certainly he had heard from his parents. He laughs. And he remembers the telling that his mother had laughed in mockery and disbelief and then lied about it to the Lord himself. A great choice. But she came around and believed. I believe this, do you? We don't have to be ashamed of the fact that laughter is the natural reaction. As you look at this image that laid in straw in a manger from which animals should feed is the Savior of the world. Laughter is the natural reaction. You get a choice to laugh in joy and say, God kept his promise. Or to laugh in mockery and say, who are the people that would really swallow that story? There's two questions that I have for you today. Which of the two laughters have you chosen? And if you are preferring at this moment in your life the laughter of doubt and disbelief, this second question, do you want to repent of that? Repent does not mean just I'm canceling the first choice. It means I'm going to the other direction. I'm embracing the other choice. Church, contrary to what a lot of people believe, is not the place where we laugh at folk who condemn God's ideas. No, exactly to the contrary. It's a place where we're safe to turn around and say, how foolish could I have been to reject the truth of what God declares? So I don't know everyone here, and maybe you're here today and have openly doubted and disbelieved or wondered or just aren't sure. So this is the invitation that the Lord Emmanuel, who came to be with us, gives to you today. Believe. And for those who have already embraced the newborn Messiah, Redeemer, I give you this challenge. Don't let the divine presence go unnoticed this Christmas. Did you catch that in chapter 21, the story of Isaac's birth? The Lord was there, and no one noticed enough to even acknowledge, to include it in the record. This is what he himself prophesied. It's capital L Lord. The Lord Jesus himself is present and prophesying to Abraham and Sarah, I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Then this is our foundational belief about God. What he says he will do, he does. So Isaac is born, and we know that Abraham is there and Sarah is there, and we know that the Lord is there and doesn't get mentioned at all. What happens to Abraham in the excitement of the birth of the son of the promise? Does he just forget about the prophecy? So Christian believers, maybe it seems like it should go without saying, but I'm going to say it. You know that Jesus is with us. He is the ever-present God, Emmanuel. So as you gather to celebrate his arrival, don't act like he's not there present. Amen? Laughter, is it good medicine? It is and it isn't. It depends which laughter you choose. Amen? Stand with me as we close in prayer. We worship you as a God who is faithful to your word. Never in history as we know it has our God made a promise and not fulfilled, and left it unfulfilled, without an answer, without coming to our aid as promised. Every single one of us, at some point in our life, has stood at the entrance of the tent with Sarah, perhaps not the courage to say it out loud as she didn't, but laugh to ourselves saying, oh, really, what a sweet story. Thank you for the gospel that allows us to repent, to turn around, to change our mind. And this is our wish for Christmas 2017. May many more, as many of us here present, have come to believe, understand that this is not a story to laugh at, but in deep joy to laugh with. And to understand that laughter of the gospel needs to be contagious. And to say with Sarah, at the birth of the one whom they named, he laughs. Understand that others will laugh with us. Take that joy with us throughout this week. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. So the blessing today is from the book of Ecclesiastes. At the Christmas season, here's what Solomon said about seasons of life. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to heal and a time to kill. A time to tear down and a time to build up. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. Amen? Christmas seems like the time to laugh and to dance, doesn't it? But the circumstances of our life don't obey the seasons of the calendar always. So I'm aware that some might be walking towards December 25th and thinking, doesn't seem like this year in 2017. It's a time to dance. Our God understands that. Because you don't need to send him a fax or an email. He is Emmanuel and with us and can bring us laughter in the midst of our pain. Amen. Go in peace and may God bless with profound joy your week. God bless you.